Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you here with us today. If you are visiting for the first time, I'd like to encourage you to fill out the Connect card. There's a Connect card in the pew back ahead of you or at the end of your pews. If you take that back to the Welcome Center, we just have a gift for you, a coffee cup for you. And welcome to those of you who are visiting with us online. And it's just wonderful to have you all here with us today. If you are a member, just want to remind you, right after the service, we're going to have a very short congregational meeting today, just talking about a facilities use agreement with Bright Lights Theater. So if you are a member, if you just stay after for a few minutes after the meeting or after the service, and we will do that. We'll have that meeting. There are also a number of announcements in your bulletin. Please make sure that you look through your bulletins during the sermon. It's a perfect time to do that. But make sure you look through the bulletin and see the things that are going on here at the church. A lot of things that are going on, a lot of it we can't talk about here on Sunday morning. So if you want to stay abreast of what is going on, please check out your bulletin. Also in the back, there is a fiscal year update talking to you about where the church is at financially and how the giving is going. Just want to encourage you, if this is your home church, if this is the church where you consider home, whether you're a member or not, just encourage you to be a faithful and generous giver to the ministry here of the church. And I think that's all the announcements. Drawing a blank here. You're up. Oh yeah, I got to pray. Good idea. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be among friends and with those, many of those who also consider you to be their Lord and Savior in a very personal way. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we move through this sermon, as we move through this service, Lord, that you would draw our attention, draw our eyes, draw our hearts, and draw our minds toward you. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Let's stand to our feet and worship together.
Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Now the time we affectionately call the meet and greet, and this is time for you to meet, talk to the people around you, introduce yourself, and hear their names, and I want you to answer this question. What is one encouraging thing that has happened to you this week? And it's never okay to lie in church, but no, I'm just kidding. No, don't lie. One encouraging thing that happened to you this week.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Psalm 62, 1 through 8. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Please remain standing.
All right, let's dive back into worship together.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you.
Sing it out.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the word of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Like you, all of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort,
you're my shelter.
to the Lord. All the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the word of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
This is a new song we did last week, maybe the week before as well. Specific reason that brought this one into the mix. If you still haven't latched on to the melody, how to sing it right, that's fine. Just pay attention to the words, and I hope that these words will sink into your heart this morning.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Sing it out. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Wasted years until the past had disappeared. Let me tell you about my Jesus. In all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could, who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. He makes a way where there ain't no way. It rises up from an empty grave. It ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in my mother's womb. You formed me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for beyond the clouds, though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Did you make all things work together for my future and for my good? You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. It's for your name. And the clay, and I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all I'm the canvas and the clay. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me. You're proclaiming. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me. You make all things work together for my future. Together for your glory. I'm the canvas and the clay, and I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that what we were singing in this song is so very true, that you are not finished with us, that we are just a work in progress. And Lord, you tell us that even though we're not going to be perfect, that we can come to you every morning, every day, every night to become more like you. Lord, if there are parts of our lives that we haven't surrendered to you, I pray that we would do that this morning, knowing that full submission is the only way in which we can truly grow to be more like you. Lord, I pray also that if we're not doing the things that are necessary to grow, that we would start doing those. No matter what age we are, if we're in our 20s, 80s, 90s, there's always a time to turn back to you, to take an honest look at ourselves and say, am I doing the things I need to? Lord, I pray that we would ask ourselves that today. Are we reading your Bible? Are we praying? Are we submitting and surrendering everything that's going on in our lives to you, or are we trying to shoulder it ourselves? Lord, and I pray we'd have grace upon ourselves too. None of us in here are perfect. I'm not perfect. Pastor Forrest isn't perfect. Nobody ever will be. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not hold ourselves to such a standard that when we do fail, we let the enemy stop us from growing, stop us from turning back to you. Lord, I pray all this in your name this morning, and that we would open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Holy Spirit, you would do your work here this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I look at my life from a certain angle, this has been a pretty tough summer. For me, it's been. I don't know how yours has been, but this has been a tough summer for me. My PhD program is going to start this fall, and so I ordered a bunch of books, and I wasn't really paying a lot of attention. I was just going through the list and just ordering books, and just ordered them, and I don't order them used and stuff or whatever, so I wasn't really paying a lot of attention, and then all of a sudden the books started coming in, and I have like 15 books on my counter for one class, and it's a two-hour class. It's crazy, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is going to be nuts. Also, the month of August, I kind of went through and I did some research back. I have some resources and I bought some new resources reading through the dynamics about how to turn around a church and how to do all that stuff we've been talking about around here for a while. And so I read through all those books again, kind of skimmed some of them, and every single one of them starts off in the introduction talking about the statistics of what's going on in churches in America. And then they say that the chances of a church turning around are really slim. And I was like, oh man, that's so difficult to hear those kind of things. And it was like book after book said it. So it was tough. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but I've been wearing tennis shoes more often. So I injured my foot at the beginning of the summer. So it's a long story. It'll heal on its own, but it takes a long time to heal. So I haven't run all summer. I keep trying every once in a while, but I hurt it again. And so I have given up. You'll understand what this means. A month ago, I gave up completely stepping on the scale. Okay, so that should tell you things are not good. So from one perspective, this has been a pretty tough summer for me. But I'm not telling you that to feel sorry for me, because you'll understand later. You'll understand why. But I'm not a person who usually allows those kind of things to heap up to such an extent that it makes me, like, depressed. I tend not to do that. That's my personality. When I'm up here, I'm usually pretty excited. Even though bad stuff has happened this week, I still am pretty excited. I'm pretty up. That's just my general nature. And psychologists tell us, and this is where we're going to invite you into the conversation a little bit too. Psychologists tell us that people basically have like a scale in their emotional life. And on one side is all the negative, the depressing, the hard things that are going on. And then on the other side, there's the positive things, the happy things, the things that we're excited about or that seems like are really going great in our life. And as long as the scale, the bad stuff is not as heavy as the good stuff, people tend to have a happy disposition. They tend to be okay with life. They're happier or everything is fine. They can be happy in public places or in private. But when the bad things get really, really heavy, people tend to have a downtime. They're not encouraged. They're frustrated. They're just not happy. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is when those times are extended, people move into depression. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want us to look at that, and I want you to think in your mind, you, for the most part, have a scale like that. And you have a scale where the negative things and the difficult things and the hard things are on one side, and the good things and the positive things and the happy things are on the other side. And I don't know where you're at this morning, which way your scale is tipping, but what I want us to think about is, what are the things that we can put on this side of the scale? What are the things that we can put on this side of the scale to help us feel like our lives are going in a positive direction? What are the things? And more importantly, what are the things that have some weight to them? What are the things that when we put them on this side of the scale moves? They're things that are solid. They're things that hold a lot and change the dynamic. And that's this morning what I want to ask us. We're going to ask this of the Bible. What are the things which would be encouraging to us? What are the things, what can we be encouraged about? And not what are just happy things that are going on in our life, but what are the things from the Lord's perspective that if are involved in our lives, that they change the scales? What are those things? And this morning, I'd invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today we're going to be in chapter 2. And what happens in chapter 2 is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are writing to the believers, this very young group of believers, in the town of Thessalonica. And he's going through parts of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and he's talking about, these are the things that are true of you. This is what's going on in your life. And the section that we're going to look at is verses 13 to 16 today. And in these four verses, the authors are communicating to the Thessalonian believers, these are the things you should be encouraged about. These are the things that if you put them on your scale, they will change your perspective of life. These are the biggies. These are the ones that will help you feel encouraged. So what can we be encouraged about? And we're going to see three things here today, and they all start with W. And it's going to be important for me to remind you of these throughout the sermon, because the application is going to actually be something I'm going to challenge you to do at lunch today. And so this is a disclaimer right off the bat, is that I am going to encourage you to have dessert at lunch today. So here's the deal. If your doctor said no more lunch, no more dessert, you can't have dessert. Sorry. But if doctor didn't say that, then it's okay. I'm going to encourage you to have dessert. But as you're eating that dessert, I want you to do something, and it's going to involve these three W's. So start to put them in your mind, okay? The first one is working. You can be encouraged. We can be encouraged when there's working. We'll talk about that in a second. The second one is you can be encouraged when there's a welcome. And the last one, which is a little bit strange to hear, you can be encouraged with wrath. And you'll understand a little bit more about that when we get there. So, the first one is working. Second one, welcome. Third one, wrath. And what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy do is they explain to these believers, you can be encouraged about what's going on in your life. You can be encouraged. You can have an encouraging perspective because these are the three reasons why. And the first one that we see is because of a working. So look with me at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. It says this, "For this reason, we also continually thank God." So he says, for this reason, and he's talking about the reason that he's going to give them in a few minutes. And he says, we also thank God. And the first part of the letter in the first couple verses of the first chapter, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy thank God for these Thessalonians. And so he said, we're thanking you for something else. And the something else that we're thanking you, that when you received the word of God, hearkening back to the time period when these missionaries first brought the gospel, the good news to them, that Jesus had died on the cross for their sins. It says, when you heard that, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, is clarifying that what he's talking about is that message, when you received that message. Now, it's going to be helpful to point out in the next verb here, it's helpful to point out that at this point, all they're doing is receiving it. They're hearing it. They heard that message. And he's making a point of saying that when you heard this, then this is how you reacted. Verse 3, for the reason I constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. You embraced it. You thought it was true. You thought it was legitimate. You grabbed onto it and said, this is true. You accepted it, but not as the word of mere men. So you heard the words that we were telling you, but you didn't accept it as though that's a great thing that Paul or Timothy or Silvanus said. They didn't say, they didn't understand those words, that message. They didn't understand it as having come from a man. Instead, but as it really is the word of God. Now, what these guys are pointing out to these Thessalonian believers is that the message that they brought to them was not a message from them. It was a message that came to them from God. And now you hear this word of God, and it's a term that we often refer to when we're talking about the Bible. Okay? The Bible is the word of God, but that's not specifically what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are talking about there. They're talking about the things that they told him when they were with him. And he says, you heard it not as the word of mere men, but as it really is the word of God, the message from God, which is also at work in you who believe. And so what they're pointing out is that message is at work. It's not just that it was at work, It was at work, but it's continuing to be at work in their lives. And what these Thessalonian believers have done is they have embraced that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And so they're living their life differently because of that, and it's making a difference in how they live. And so what Paul is saying is you can be encouraged. Look at your life, be encouraged about the fact that you heard the message from us, you believed it, and now your life is changed. It's changed then, and it's continually changing now. There's a difference. Something is going on in your life. It's making a work within you. In the past few weeks, I've had an opportunity to visit with some people over, some of it was just over lunch or coffee or even some in the evening. I was talking to some different people about different things. And on a couple of occasions, I've run into some people. And what's been really neat is my role has been, or what I've been able to help people to do, is I've been helping people to be able to see the things that they're reading in their personal devotional time, the things that they're hearing talked about, whether it's from the pulpit here or they're hearing it on the radio or whatever, those things that are going on, as well as the circumstances in their life, the things that are happening. Some of them are choices they're making. Some of them are just stuff that's happening to them. And they're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together and see the Lord is working in their lives. And it's super fun for me to be able to be there and to just kind of see it and like to ask questions, well, what about this? Or how does that fit in? And you're beginning to see the light bulbs go off in people's minds and like, whoa, the Lord just isn't doing something. He's working through all of the different parts of their life and bringing them to a place where there's something happening. And it's super fun for me to be able to just watch and just to be able to talk to him. It's encouraging to me when I see what the Lord is doing in somebody else's life. But the hard part for the person is, it's hard sometimes to put those strings together. Because this seems like an isolated event. This seems like an isolated event. And this seems like an isolated event. And you're so busy, it's easy to not see, whoa, the Lord is working through all of these situations to do something in my life. And it's easy to lose track of that and to lose sight of it. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Even now, I want you to begin thinking about, list through, in your mind or on paper in front of you, list through the things that the Lord is doing in your life. What are the things that you're reading about? What are the things that you're being taught here at church? What are the circumstances? What are the areas in your life where the Lord is working? You may not see the connections yet. Hang tight, that'll come. But begin to think in your own mind, what are the things that the Lord is doing in your life? As you're reading maybe a verse of Scripture and it jumps out at you, think about that. Write that down. Maybe you have an interaction with an old friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and they remind you of something. Think about that. What is the Lord doing? What I just want you to do right now is I just want you to just start listing in your head the things that the Lord is doing in your life. The ways in which he is connecting with you, the ways that he is pushing you, the ways that he is instructing you. And the reality is we can be encouraged when we have the opportunity to take the time to look and see what he's doing in our lives. The second thing we're going to see is what we can be encouraged about is the welcome. It's the welcome. And this next verse is going to talk about how the believers in Thessalonica were welcomed into the club of suffering. They're welcome into the club. And there is a bit of encouragement when we see that other people are going through similar things that we are, as we are. Verse 14 says this: "For you, brothers and sisters," speaking to the believers in Thessalonica, "became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea." So they became imitators. They became people who did something like somebody else. But the word here, we can't really convey it very well in English. The word is actually passive. It's not saying that you did something to be like someone else. It's that your situation made you like someone else. And that's important. And it says, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, which is Israel, which is the Jewish believers. You became like them, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen. So Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are talking about you guys are going through sufferings. And we know at this point in this time period, the sufferings were not physical. They were not being beaten. They were not being imprisoned. But the believers here were being ostracized. People were making fun of them, or they were pushing them out of social situations. And that was becoming inconvenient for the believers, and at some rates and in some ways, it was becoming hard for them. Being a believer in Jesus was not an easy thing to do. Some of the people that used to talk to them don't want to talk to them anymore. People who they wanted to do business with in the past now don't want to do business with them. So they are experiencing suffering. And so what they're saying here is, look, you became an imitator, not by choice, but you became an imitator of the churches of God that are in Judea. For you endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen. By fellow Thessalonians are the ones that are doing it. Even as they did, talking about the Jews, the believing Jews in Jerusalem, as they did from the Jews. And the whole point is to say, hey, what you're going through here, the difficulty that you're having here, is the same thing that is being experienced by other people in a different town. And you've heard the old adage, misery loves company. And the reality is this is what Paul is trying to encourage, that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are trying to encourage them with, this saying, look, be encouraged because you are welcomed into the club. You're welcomed into the club of suffering. It's not a suffering that you chose. This isn't maybe what you wanted, but just understand that there are other people who are experiencing the same kind of suffering that you are. You are not alone. It was interesting as I was reading through some of these books here in the month of August. It was interesting as I was reading through, there were stories, if you will, and names were all changed. But there were stories of experiences of pastors, and they were kind of talking about what they had gone through and the situation that they had gone through. And it was unbelievable. Some of the stories of what was going on were like the names were different, but I was like, that exact same thing is happening to me. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. That happened. That's happening. And it was a strange sense of comfort to know that other people who are trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do are going through the same kind of difficulties that I'm going through. And there was a sense of comfort. And that's the message here of verse 14, is that be encouraged because you're not alone. There are other people who are experiencing the same kind of difficulties that you are. Think in your life right now. You may have several different difficulties, but think of the difficulties that you're going through. And if you gave yourself some time, you would probably think of other people that you know who are experiencing something similar. You could probably say, this person may not be going exactly the same thing that I am, but it's similar. Now, their set of difficulties might not all be the same as your set, but there's somebody who is going through this kind of difficulty right now, same as you. Somebody that's going through this sort of difficulty that you have, same as you. And that can be a great source of encouragement for us when we say, yes, this is difficult, but so-and-so is going through it too. It's just a way to be encouraged. And that is the help here is like, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are telling you guys, think about this, the stuff that you're going through, the difficulties that you're having, you're not having them alone. You've been welcomed into the club of suffering. And the last one is wrath. And this is going to be in verses 15 and 16. And this is going to be a little bit different than maybe what you're expecting to hear. But you need to understand that God's wrath, for the most part, is not poured out on humanity until after they die. See, when I experience a difficulty, when something goes wrong, when something is bad, my first thought is, God must be judging me. God must be giving me his wrath. And we're naturally wired that way. That's not how he functions. Because, as we'll talk about in a minute, he's patient. The Lord is patient with every single human being. And the reality is he may be impatient with somebody else, and they're making bad decisions, and it's affecting you, but the Lord is being patient with them. He's not giving them his wrath. But at the end of their life, when they die, if they have rejected Jesus all of their life, then they will get his wrath. Why is it then and not now? Because then there's no chance to change. Now there's a chance. So wrath, if you are not experiencing God's wrath right now, no matter what you may think about what you're going through. Verse 15 says this, who, speaking of the Jews who are persecuting the Jewish believers in Jerusalem and in Judea, who, these Jews, they both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, speaking about Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus. They are not pleasing to God. So he goes through a list here and talks about, this is what's going on in these guys. They are not pleasing to God. They are not doing things that makes God happy. They're hostile to all people. They're in opposition to people. These people are doing things wrong. They're setting themselves against other people. All people. Doesn't matter. That's the way that they function with people. They are hindering us, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, from speaking to the Gentiles. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were these missionaries, and they were going out to these churches telling people about Jesus. And these Jews were trying to make it hard. They followed them to the cities. They had them arrested. They had them beaten in jail. They were doing all of this stuff. They're not pleasing to God. They're hostile to all people, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. We're talking about the Gentiles. With the result that they always reach the limit of their sins. They're just saying they're full. Their sins are maxed out. They're maxed out. They're doing everything possibly wrong that they can do. But we, brothers and sisters, for verse 16 says this, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. With the result, they always reach the limit of their sins, the last part. But the wrath has come upon them fully. Now, this seems a little bit in contradiction to what I've just said about wrath. This is an aorist verb. Long story short, aorist verb is not necessarily past tense. But that's the way it often has to be translated. Aorist tense means it's happened, it's sure. And so what Paul is saying is not that wrath has already started happening to them, because it hasn't. They're actually being successful in what they're doing. What he's saying is that the wrath is coming for them. It will. If they don't change their ways, if they don't do something differently, wrath is coming. And the wrath of God is something that is coming for people at the end of their life, after they have gotten to the place where they have not repented, they have not turned back to Jesus. There's no chance for them to make a change, and then God's wrath will be poured out. Until then, until that time, the Lord is patient with us. He's patient with each one of us. His patience allows us sometimes to do things that we shouldn't do. And sometimes the Lord's patience allows us to do something to others that we shouldn't do that significantly harm them. But the Lord is patient. And he is patient because he wants everyone to turn from the way that they have been living life. So if you are experiencing difficulty right now, if your gut instinct to say, God is punishing me, God is giving me his wrath, he's not doing that. He will discipline believers at times, just another time, something we'll talk about in another story. But you won't experience God's wrath until the end of your life if you have not entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. God's wrath is not for now. The Lord is patient. He wants all of us to come into a right relationship with Him. So the thing that I want to challenge you with here is that I want you to begin to think in your mind when you run into a difficult situation, I want you to say, wrath is future. Get into a car wreck, it's your fault. You know it's going to cost an arm and a leg to fix it. Say, wrath is future. This is not God's judgment on you. You blew a red light. That's it. Your best friend decides, I don't want to be best friends anymore, and they break up with you. Wrath is future. This is not the Lord punishing you for doing something to some other friend. Wrath is always future for us. So what can we be encouraged about? We talked about three things that we can be encouraged about. We can be encouraged about working. And I gave you the thing that sometimes it's hard for us to notice the ways that the Lord is working in our life. So I challenge you to stop and maybe just make a list of the ways that the Lord is working in your life. We can be encouraged about being welcomed into the club. We're welcomed into the club of suffering. There are other people who are going through very similar situations as we are. And we can be encouraged that although we feel like maybe what's going on is the wrath of God, it's not. Wrath is future, something that is always future. Around here a lot, and I get it at school sometimes too, people always ask me, how you doing? But they're not asking it like, you know, most people, like, hey, how you doing? They're like, how are you doing? Like, I know the answer to the question because I know your situation. I know what's going on, so you must be doing bad. So how are you doing? And I get that a lot. People ask me that. And they say, hey, how's it going? They're really worried about me. And my first reaction almost always is in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you don't need to worry about me. I'm good. And so I try to tell them, everything's fine. I'm doing okay. And part of that is because of my nature as being a pastor. I don't want people to worry about me. I want to worry about them. That's just kind of my thing. Like, I want to take care of people. I don't want to worry people worrying about me. But part of it is because I also understand and I look at things differently. Yeah, maybe this part isn't going so great, or maybe this part isn't so going so great, but I get to see on a pretty regular basis the Lord working in people's lives. Maybe to an extent that no one else in their life gets to see. That's pretty awesome. I get to experience how you guys are going through, some of you are going through suffering, and I can identify that I'm not the only one who's experiencing whatever it is. So I know there's a lot of people there. And I understand in a very real way that the difficulty that I'm facing, whatever it is not God's judgment on me. That's not how He works. It may be the Lord being patient with somebody else, but the difficulty is not punishment. The difficulty is not God's wrath on me. And so when I look at things, the reality is I'm pretty encouraged. Despite the way that things look, I'm still pretty encouraged because there's so many better things going on than often people see from the outside. So when people come up to me and say, hey, how's it going? I usually tell them, it's going pretty good. How's the church? It's going great. How's school? It's going wonderful. Hasn't started yet. Starts on Thursday. I'll tell you more on Friday. But for the most part, really truly have a desire to tell people, things are going pretty well. Because for me, I'm able to focus on the things that have weight. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So here's my challenge for you this afternoon. For lunch, if it's okay with your doctor, I want you to have dessert. Have dessert. Order dessert. Now, if you're going out to eat, it's real easy because usually most of the servers will ask you if you want dessert at the end of the meal. That's fine. Just say yes this time. If you're going home to have lunch, you might have to stop at the store and pick up some ice cream, whatever you need to do. I want to challenge you to have dessert, but this is going to be an encouraging dessert. This is an encouraging dessert, and here's how it's going to work. Cut yourself a piece of pie or ice cream or whatever it is and get it in front of you, and before you eat each bite, I want you to think of one thing that you have going on in your life to be encouraged about. Something where you know the Lord is working. Something where you know that other people are suffering like you. Or something where you know that this is not God's wrath. And so if you take a really big piece of pie, you're going to have a lot of things to tell yourself to be encouraged about. But before each bite, I want you to stop. My challenge for you is to stop and say, this is something that I can be encouraged about in my life because the Lord is doing whatever it is. And by the end of your dessert, then what I'm going to challenge you to do is text me or email me and tell me how the experience went. So, have an encouraging dessert for lunch today, if you can. Before each bite, think about, articulate, if you're in a public restaurant by yourself, maybe you don't want to say it out loud, but think about and say in your mind, I have this to be encouraged about because this is what I know the Lord is doing in my life. At this point in the service, what we do now is we transition from the encouraging dessert application to the Lord's table. And if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand and we'll have some gentlemen in the back who'll be happy to get those for you. What this is called the Lord's table, and this is an opportunity for those of us who have entered into a personal relationship with the Lord because of Christ. Because we've entered into that personal relationship, this is an opportunity for us to be reminded of what Jesus did for us so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. Jesus was willing to live a perfect life. He was willing to allow men to kill him and crucify him, and in that death, so provide for us forgiveness for all of our sins. And because those sins are wiped out and forgiven, we can then have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. And so there's two parts to the Lord's table. There's the bread and there's the cup. So if you reveal the first plastic cover, I'm quoting Paul from the book of 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was after supper, he took some bread, and when he had broken it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. If you want to take the plastic off, covering up the juice. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's stand to our feet and sing one more time before we leave today.
Doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future. Thank you. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're not finished with me. 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 When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
Okay, for lunch today, make sure you eat an encouraging dessert. Every bite, think through one reason why you have to be encouraged today. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Members, make sure you stay behind for a meeting. Everyone else, see you next week.